Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. Lord, we acknowledge your presence here. We ask you that, Lord, you quicken our mind and our hearts to be able to go to your word and to receive it, Lord, and to apply it to ourselves. Help us, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is moving in this place today. We thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, that you want to bless us and want to bring us, Lord, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Help us, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, and to put it to work in our life. And we praise and thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have been looking at the fact that we often limit God in the things he can do for us. And that is not what God wants. So we started last week, and we started looking at Psalm 78, in which, you know, essentially shows how the children of Israel, you know, limited the Holy One of Israel, limited God in the things he wanted to do. And I give you a little assignment, if you remember. You remember what was the assignment? Anybody did it? Okay, well, some men, not too many. Well, you know, the idea is that it's important to realize, you know, that church is not Sunday morning. Church is us all week. Okay, and during the week, you see, what we had to do as the Lord working on us as an assembly, you know, bringing us in our journey that is different from each one of us, but he worked different ways for each person. And I really spent time, all the time, to, you know, get direction from the Lord of what I had to preach. And sometime, like even this today, you know, he just changes stuff. I prepared the thing on Friday, and so yesterday I had to work out the stuff again because he wanted me to give a different slant. See, he has a plan. And the plan that he has is smart enough to do a plan that works for everybody. If, you know, we had to implement our plan. We had to fulfill it. And it's not automatic. Okay, we had to participate in that. That means we had to start seeing it and being moving with it. It's a journey that we all are taking. Okay, it's a journey that we walk together. As we do that, you know, we are going to benefit much more on the things that we are doing here at church, because it's not what we do just here at church. Is what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you personally. Okay? That's where the stuff gets done. You see, what he can and wants to do with you that is different from anybody else. And he's, you know, here sometime working like this morning with, you know, I had really two words of knowledge, but I just had the chance to say one, but the other one came up about the shoulder. Okay, the point is, you see, he knows what the needs are. And we have to have the faith to act on it. Praise the Lord. So, you know, what I want to focus today is, you know, how we can release or how we can let the power of God work in us. Okay, and we start there. But I'm not going to cover Psalm 78 anymore. You can continue to work on it, meditate on it if you want, to get ideas. I'm going to do a parallel, though, that is in another part in 1 Corinthians, and we're going to see that. But really, you know, we had to do is that we are not the first ones that we have a great cloud of witnesses to guide us. And, you know, from the experiences they had, from what is said in the Word, from other people around us that have experienced too. You see, we are not isolated. See, the whole body of Christ works in a special way, both in the Scriptures and in the assembly. When we understand that, we enter a new dimension of our relationship with God. And I've never talked about that before, but I think I should. And I feel that that's, you know, although I didn't put it here today in my notes, but we have to understand the way that God works through others and with us, and how we can benefit from others. We don't need to go through all the experiences ourselves. We can use the experiences that other people had so that we can save ourselves time, energy, and we have produced better results. Because we can learn both from their failures and from their successes. And from their failures, we can see the things that we shouldn't be doing so that we don't need to have the same failures. And from the successes, we can see the things that they did right so that we can imitate them. Okay, we have to understand that, you know, God works with us personally, but also with us in the environment we are in. Praise the Lord. And we often look at the environment, especially today, where so many things are really upside down. What good is bad and what bad is good. Okay? And we have to understand that that's not the only story. That's not the only reality that we are in. There is lots of stuff that is good, that God is going, is doing that, that he was not doing before. And the reason is because the time are changing and Jesus is coming back soon. We don't know when, but we know that by all the evidences are around, are pointing to that. And also, as the message is becoming bigger and bigger, also the good things are becoming more and more powerful, more and more normal. You know, we, each Sunday, we pray things, we get results. Okay. You know, once that wouldn't happen. Today happens, not just here, but in many other places, because God is moving. And he's showing the reality of his power. Are you with me? Yes. Praise the Lord. See, we have to be aware. Our awareness of what happens in the spiritual dimension is essential, because otherwise we cannot connect. See, sometimes there are people in the congregation, you know, and one gets blessed, the other one gets nothing. And it's not a problem with what the Holy Spirit wants to do. The problem is the way we are ready, the way we participate, the way we perceive what's going on. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me continue here with scripture I read this week, last week, but I'm going to read it again, maybe more than once today. Well, Hebrews 12:1 says, "And therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that was set before us." Each one of us has a race to go, has a journey to take. And we have to always, you know, want, if we want, we want to do what God wants to do. There is a goal, an arrival place that we have to go there. And we have to understand our part in that process. Okay, but we had to, you know, say the two things that are important. to see. They're just the same as this great crowd of witness, you know, are our example in many different ways. And he's talking about the positive example here, not the negative one. Okay, but as they are there, we can learn from them. And we can see how God worked before, expecting him to work the same way today. Actually, better. And we are going to see why it's better. But really, you know, we had the part we play. One is to lay away, aside, every weight. Things sometimes hinder our progress. And we had to realize what those things are and get them out of the way. Because they can stop us and they can make us even regress. We had to understand that, okay? Every weight. And sometimes, you know, these things are not necessarily bad things. Are just things that are distracting you. Things that are confusing you. Things that are not profitable. All things are allowed for us, but not all things are profitable. Oh, we have to understand that. And then, you know, there is also the weaknesses, the sin that so easily ensnare us. You know, we each have a specific, one or more specific areas in which we are weak. And we have to really identify them and work on them so that we overcome and we become stronger. And this is what God wants for us to do. Anyway, so we are going to see how the children of Israel, okay, worked before with the children, the enemy worked on the children of Israel. See, but the idea is that we have to be aware. That awareness is important. See, because that's the way the enemy, the deceiver, works. He blinds us to what's going on spiritually. So that we get caught up with the physical things that surround us, the environment, the things that everybody talks about, then just end up being a waste of time. We have to understand instead what is going to build us up and give us strength, and choose what the things that we are exposed to, choose the things that we are engaged in. Okay? So that's one of the things. Okay, because otherwise, if we are caught up in other things, we are blinded by these things. We don't see what really we need to see. Okay, darkness. Okay, and walking in darkness, as says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. Okay, what they do is, you know, does make you not see what is going on. Because our eyes are blinded. Okay, that's 1 John 2:11. So we have to be aware. And we have to be diligent in our focus and in awareness about the things that we have to be attentive, concentrate, and be aware of. And that part is not just the physical world around us. That is, I would say, even secondary. I mean, to the minimum that we had to do so that we can manage the situation, okay. But really what's important is to focus on what's going on inside ourselves. How we are moving, how we are walking, how we are reacting to the world around us. That makes the difference. If we are not aware of what's going on inside ourselves, then we are going to be tossed around by the things that are surrounding us, by our senses. And what we do, that means we are walking in the flesh. Are you still with me? This is important. You know, this is the basic starting point for us to see. And this was the problem that really, okay, the children of Israel head. Okay. Because of that, because of walking in the flesh, because of being just complaining and aware of the world around them, they were missing all the great works that God was producing, was doing with them. Okay. And they limited his power. See, as it says in Psalm 78, verse 41, says, Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. See, this is something that we're going to see even better more a bit later. Okay, so I suggest that you read a few times. You know, sometimes even the negative part that are pointed out, they show us what we shouldn't do. And we can know the positive part, which is doing the opposite. So we don't need to be stuck with don't. We have to really see the do that we have, the do's that we have to have, so that we are going to be successful. Don't fall in the same mistakes over and over and over again. They did that again and again. They fell into the same thing. Praise the Lord. We had to learn to be wise, to have wisdom, to have the ability to know the things that are going to produce results for us. Amen? Okay. So let me continue here then. Okay. Both positive and negative examples are important. Positive to know what to do, negative to know what not to do, but also to, you know, be able to do the opposite. Okay. So looking at their example, okay, we can learn. Okay. And the Bible talks about all different type of experiences. You know, people succeeding, people backsliding, people having shipwrecks, everything. Okay, so we don't need to go through the same thing if we understand why the Bible was given to us. So that we can, in there, find out the information that we need to have a better life. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Okay. This is a parallel of, Psalm 78, only is a bit shorter. And, it summarizes some things. Doesn't go into so much detail, so it's a good idea to go into the other two. But for us here, we're going to just do Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want to be unaware all our fathers under the cloud, all pass through the sea." So though all our fathers, and talking about the children of Israel, okay, were under the cloud and all pass through the sea. So you see, they had these supernatural experiences. They all had the power of God working around them. They saw many miracles taking place. Supernatural events that were amazing in themselves. Okay, the plague of Egypt and all the other things that they did with the Egyptians. Okay, it says, "All they were baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea." So you see, they had Moses there telling them, baptized, they were completely immersed in what he was doing. He was leading them. He was showing the way to go. And so, we would expect them to follow the direction that the Holy Spirit, that God was giving him. Okay. Okay. So, continue here. "All ate the same spiritual food." Okay, both in the teaching and in the manna and all the other things they did. So, these are many things that they did. "And all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." So he's telling him, in modern terms, what that compares to today? Okay, they say they all were, in modern terms, in a good church. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, this is the same. We are through the same. The world is the wilderness we are in. We are in the same situation. We can be like they did, do our own thing, look at the situations, look at and react in the flesh, or really instead being experiencing and benefiting from the things that actually God was doing and done and is going to and was dealing with as a group and personally. Are you following what I'm saying? This is why I started talking about the other things, to show you how some of these things applies to us. Okay? So, we continue here. Verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. For them, their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. You see, they didn't succeed in getting where God was planning to take them. And wasn't God's problem, wasn't God that he wasn't there willing to do anything for them. It's that they messed it up. They limited God. God didn't want to be limited. And he was willing to do anything for them. And for the people that follow his direction, they got through, they got victory, and everything else. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me continue here. What we have to understand, okay, that we have a part in being able to move and to, in this journey, in the right way. We had to walk not in the flesh like they were doing, but in the spirit. And to walk in the spirit, what we had to do is to be connected with God, to be connected with something that we have available to us, especially these days, which is the Word of God, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit that was given to us. They did not have the Holy Spirit as in general. But if you are born again, you got the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You are not like one of those children of Israel. You have much more for you. You have an advantage. You have an advantage in many ways. First of all, your sins are forgiven, you know, you have seen the example of Jesus. You have, received from him. You know, you have been given the Holy Spirit to guide you and, open up the Word to you. And the Word, though, becomes the contact, physical contact that you have to be able to succeed in your walk. So, let me continue here. In verse 6 says, okay, now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So you see, the idea is, you see, talking about lust or desires, you know, we should not go after things that are evil, but really it's not just a question that things that are evil, sometimes things that are just hindering us, you know, although may not be so terribly evil, they're just going to distract us from what God wants us to do and to be able to see the things that we have to be open and receive from God. You know, he's there trying to give us things. But if you look on the other side, we don't even see what he's doing. Are you with me? See, we have to be attentive. We have to be focused. And the way to be focused is to be really connected with the Word and connected with him. Okay. So here he's saying, not lust. And lust here is talking about, this is all the way, the source of all temptation. You know, we see that, it's our desire that are going to, make us go after other things. And these other things can be different one. And last Thursday, we talked about, you know, the three major areas that we had to look at. But here, you know, we're not going to talk about that again, except for quotation after. But we are going to see, you know, that what we go after is critical, is important. The following verses, do not become idolaters. Okay, that means have idols. As were though some of them. As it is written, people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You see, they were just looking after, having pleasure and doing after things. Okay. Food, drinks, other things, other idols that they had themselves. You know, that, you know, doesn't help you to walk in the Spirit. Not let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 of them fell. So the idea is, you know, when we do these things, the enemy has an easy ride with us, and he can take advantage of us. We have to understand that. So now, so we saw already two things, you know, not to, you know, go at last after other things, but be focused on the right things, you know, not to become idolaters, or maybe not to have idols distracting us, that, you know, idols are nothing else than things that we value more than the value we have with God, so that we choose them rather than choosing what God tells us to do. Okay. So, sexual immorality is one of them, but there are many other. Money, you know, that there is nothing wrong with money. But if money becomes the only things that, you know, is important for us and is not taking the right place, this is going to be a problem and is going to produce problem for us. But, you know, that's just an example, okay? Anything. Fame. Anything that produces those things. Okay, let me continue here. So there is another things that they did, okay, that actually was mentioned just before in one of the scripture. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpent. Now, this is a difficult topic, okay, because it can be confusing. There are some scripture that says we can tempt, that God tells us to tempt him or to test him. Another scripture that shows very clearly that God is not very pleased and is really upset when somebody is testing him or tempting him. I remember that was many years ago, maybe in late 70s. I had been to a meeting, you know, the healing meeting. The major evangelist came to Ottawa. I was working, helping there. And lots of people were healed with many big miracles. And that was the following day. The meeting was finished. It was spring. And I had allergies sometime in spring. I mean, I was so stuffed up. I was feeling so sorry for myself because, Lord, why? You know, all these people got healed of a big stuff and my nose is giving me so much trouble. I was sitting on the bed and praying to the Lord. And I just finished saying that and zap, my nose was completely dry. And I start questioning the situation. What's happening here? I was feeling rotten a few minutes ago, and now I'm feeling perfectly fine. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you can test me. So what happened at that moment, it was lunchtime. my wife called me from the kitchen. She says, it's lunch is ready. And I, was in the bedroom. No, I'm busy now. Something else I had to do. So I got up and I went to test God. I got my two kids. We went out across the street. There were fields of grass, not cut, just wild grass. And I was rolling on the field, doing somersault and doing things there, and there was absolutely nothing happening. And since then, I never had problem with allergies anymore. Okay. That was good because I had that since I was probably maybe 14 or something like that. So it was a very long time that I suffered them. And when I was back in Italy, they were giving me injections and cortisone or stuff like that to make them stop. I never did them that year, but that I got a better shot, Holy Spirit shot, and that works much better and doesn't have any side effect. Praise the Lord. Okay, now, the Lord is good. I'm trying to say, the Lord is good, and we have to understand that sometimes we have to focus on the right thing. And at that moment, I was focusing on the fact, I believe that I shouldn't have anything there. And evidently, my faith worked. Because before I wasn't focused on that, and I wasn't thinking, and I didn't receive. But then I changed my attention. I put my attention where it should be. I knew that by stripes I was healed. I knew that what he has done for me on the cross was enough to set me free from sickness and disease. Because that's what Isaiah 53 says. So I was standing on that. But before I wasn't. I was just going through the motions, going through the things that are happening. My nose was reacting. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, unless we consciously are aware of the situation and we consciously focus on it, our circumstances are affecting us and our senses, and we are going to respond with our senses, that we are going to walk in the flesh. But when I moved out of that space, I put myself in a position to receive. It didn't take very much. It just happened like that. Praise the Lord. See, God's power, he wants to work in us. So we saw it even this morning here. See, if I wouldn't have called out for the word of knowledge I had, or if I wouldn't exercise my faith to call that out, and after praying for people, and after exercising my faith, and join with their faith, they will still have the things. But some of them are not there anymore. Anybody that still has it? What they received this morning? What happened this morning? Amen? Okay. So you see, that's the thing. That we can make a difference by just shifting from accepting the situation and the world the way it is and believing what the Word of God says, exercising our faith. And it's by faith that we please God. By faith that we release God's power. By faith that we make a difference in the physical situations and the spiritual dimension. Praise the Lord. Praise that we have a mighty God. They can do things that we cannot do by ourselves, but he's there to help us. Okay. So, so here is clearly saying this. Okay. They not let us tempt Christ as some of them did. and they were destroyed in the desert. See, that seems in contradiction with just exactly the things that I'm telling you. Okay, but because if you read the Bible, there are different scriptures. So you don't go by your own idea, you go by looking at all the scripture that relate to that, and you come to the right conclusion if you look at them and understand them. And the difference between the tempting God, that put God off and make him upset, and the tempting God that instead pleases God, is the position that you are having. You are in faith. When you are in faith, like I was that day, okay? He told me to tempt. I was kind of surprised. Do you really mean that? Because I believed. And so he said, you can see that he's actually working, and you're not doubting, you're just believing, and you are confirming, and you are taking a position, and you stand on that without fear. I did everything that was contrary to the things that I would do before. I would close myself up and making sure that I didn't have any pollen or stuff. Instead, I just went to where the pollen was, and I was rolling between the flowers there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, I was doing the opposite. When faith is working, then there is action corresponding. And that was not a testing. God, can you do this? No. It was testing God that, you know, you really did it, and I am excited, and I believe it, and I'm going to keep it. And I kept it. But, you know, the part that really turned people turns God off. And we can see it, for example, when the Pharisees asked Jesus to prove that, to make miracles for them. And what Jesus responds? He never complied with their request. They were testing God. They were mocking God. They were showing, you know, showed up what you can do. Well, you get nothing in that case. And you get the opposite generally. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, that is something that sometimes is misunderstood. And so people don't understand that when really you got the miracle, well, you had to really act in faith and do exactly the opposite of what you could do before. And that's going to confirm and convince you and deal with any doubt inside yours that can be remaining there affecting you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, this is why, you know, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And here, this is really the importance, you know, what faith is to believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder. That's what faith is. When you believe that, you know, it's not a question of applying it specifically in different things, okay? That way you get lost. But when you believe that God is and is a rewarder of those who trust in him and follow him, that's the produce the faith for all the other situations that you are going to be in. Okay? That is applied. Okay? And that's applied even before you get the result. Because you trust God before you get it. And you manifest it because you are not looking at it, but looking at God and God's power. Praise the Lord. So, this is the thing, you know. they tested God. Because can God, if you remember the Maria, you know, when they didn't have water, and they were complaining that God didn't have water. And they said, can God in the desert provide the water that we need for 2 million people? See, that's not believing. That's complaining. That is really the wrong type of testing. All right. Let me continue here. Which is a parallel of that, or is a continuation of that, in 1 Corinthians 10:10. So, nor complain, as some of them did complain and were destroyed by the destroyer. So this is, again, complaining is a manifestation of what? Not having faith. If you complain, that means you really don't trust God. Because if you trust God, you expect him to come true. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have to understand that. Okay, this is show one important thing, you know, to connect with God is to trust in him. This is the way we release God's power inside us. That's how God can actually move supernaturally in our behalf. When we stop complaining, when we stop, you see, this is all things that we have to stop doing. You know, you stop complaining. You stop, okay, testing God. You stop walking in the flesh, okay, and you stop having idols. See, that's the positive stuff that you do. Okay, you start doing things that are actually allowing God to work in your behalf and manifest his supernatural power. Praise the Lord. Okay, and that's not far away, and this is for everybody to be able to experience. Okay. Hallelujah. So, we can use, as I said before, negative example to see what not to do and to find out the opposite, and also positive example. People that walk in faith for many different things and got big results. Okay? And even from them, we had to learn not to just look at the physical things, but the spiritual size of what was taking place. Because otherwise we are going to look again to the physical dimension instead of looking at the area that is important, which is the spiritual dimension. You cannot walk in the spirit looking, using your senses, because your senses are going to be making you walk in the flesh. Now, so, continuing again from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, you see, says here, now these things happened to them as an example and were written for our admonition upon whom the end of the ages has come. Okay. Therefore, let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. So the idea is, okay, now we are dealt with the negative one, and this is, you know, they were written so that they know, but also the other one, okay, that we had to understand. Okay, we had to understand other things. Okay, the following verse, that is verse 13, says, no temptation has overtaken except such as is common to men. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this verse here is, first of all, telling us something. All the temptation that you get are the temptation that everybody else gets, even Jesus. Jesus was tempted just as we are. Okay, and he overcame. And we can overcome too. But when we are at this verse, we should look at the situation or the temptation as they come in a completely different way. If we don't know that scripture, then say, oh, my goodness, I'm in trouble. Because, you know, when you say that, what you are saying, I don't trust that God is going to take care of me. Are you following what I'm saying? What you should be saying is, I know that God knows exactly where I am in my walk and my capacity or ability to resist the temptation. And the word here says that he is faithful not to allow anything that be tempted more than I can able. I'm able to deal with. So if I get that means I can beat it. I mean, if you can beat it, it's not a problem, but there is more there. If you can beat it, actually you're going to get rewards. So it's not, you should start seeing, even when you have these negative things happening, with a completely different faith-filled attitude. Instead of saying, ouch, what you say, okay, let's do it. That's faith talking instead of doubt talking. See, somebody. So we have to remember the scripture. And each time there is something that comes our way, tempting to do the wrong thing, you say, no way, I can beat that. God has provided a way of escape. And if you don't know the way of escape, that means you don't have the wisdom to know it. And when you don't have the wisdom to know, you know exactly what you have to do. You have to ask God for direction because he is going to give it to you according to James chapter 1. Are you following me? See, that put us in a completely different situation. Wouldn't you say? I mean, now we are in a position of advantage. And we are not even considered half of the advantages we have. I mean, we know that we can beat it. We know that God is for us. We know that God is there to provide a way out. We know that we shouldn't be worried or complain. Oh my goodness, you know, God, why did you put that on me? That's the last thing that you should open up your mouth to say. Because what you are saying there, you know, God, you really care? Is not God putting it on you? It's just the situation you are in that probably the enemy is creating it or whatever, but doesn't matter what. God, instead, is controlling it to the degree that he can. And the control is, he's going to stop anything beyond your abilities. I mean, that should put us in a position of, you know, I'm safe. I can be assured that, you know, not because of my ability, not because of my knowledge, not because of my wisdom, not because of me, but because God is looking after me and he's done everything that needs to be done and whatever needs to be done, I can get it from him, can get the direction of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to go running around and panicky and other things like that because that is a sign. If you panic, if you are afraid, that means your faith is not working. So that's an indication. What happens if you, that is the case? Well, there is a simple way. Stop thinking the way you are thinking. Instead, go to the Word and fill up yourself with words that are helping you to develop and strengthen your faith. And after you read a few things that are, you start feeling different, or even before that, start speaking in tongues if you can do that, and that is going to build you up so that you are in, instead of a regressive, defensive attitude, you get into an offensive, attacking attitude. You had to push the right buttons, not the wrong buttons, the way the children of Israel did. See, the word shows us all the buttons to push, and we talked about some. We haven't finished. I mean, there is more. I mean, the word provides everything that we need for life and godliness. You know, if you believe that, you cannot go around with a sad face. You know, are you, I mean, you know, the issue is natural for us to be happy. Because we know that God is with us. Who can be against us? But we have to be at that connection with him. If we know that God is for us, but we feel that a million miles away, doesn't do any good. You know that he's inside you, he's going to guide you, and then you can ask, and he is going to tell you. It says, ask shall be given, knock shall be opened. Everyone the task receives. Are you everyone? Do you believe that? Because that's the problem. You know, sometimes people are there begging God all the time when instead he has already given it to us. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness by the knowledge of him. So when we start knowing the way Jesus knew, then we know what to do. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm afraid that the time goes fast. And we just cover some of it. Okay. But one of the things that we have to understand, then, you know, one of the major things is we have to keep making sure that we are not, don't have idols in our life. Okay. Idolatry is one of the problems, you know, the following verses, you know, flee idolatry. Why? Because that's the way that you are going to get distracted. You are starting to put idolatry is nothing else than your value and your, you know, the things that you love, the things that you go after, you know, are more important than God and what God wants you to go after. See, you have to have the same value and the same priority that God has. When that's the case, you are in a safe place because nobody can touch you. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to close for today. Okay. I wanted to talk about the many positive examples, some positive example that we have in the Bible, and see what was the common trend for all of them. That is the basis for the victory. Well, can say ahead of time, you know, is faith. Faith means trusting God. Okay. But there is a more specific area that I want to get into. And so I'm going to do that next week. Do you get anything today? Praise the Lord. So let's pray together to receive this. Okay, knowledge without application is a waste of time. We need to apply the word to get result. You can know the Bible by heart and never use practically for your situation. It's more damaging than anything else. But what happens is to produce no faith whatsoever. It's when you apply the word, the faith is degenerated. Praise the Lord. In specific cases. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us all the information and direction that we need. Thank you, Lord, that your power is greater than any physical power, because everything that is physical comes from you. You are the mighty one that can change our situation, no matter what it is. You are the great God that created the world, that we may remember that we are your creation. And Lord, you love your creation. We praise you and thank you for what you have done for us already. And we believe that you continue to guide us in this journey toward the goal that you have set before us. Thank you, Lord, for we know that it's a good goal. It's a future and a hope and expectation of things to take place and give us joy and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.